Next up is agenda item 5, that's PR 2024-010269, DHOWVR 2025-00001, request for DHO waiver, submitted by Wilson & Company, Inc., Noah Burke as agent for Brookfield Properties, Ryan Whaley, who requests the aforementioned action for all or a portion of 3A1 Coronado Center, Jeandale Unit 6, zoned MXH, and located at 6600 Manal Boulevard Northeast, containing approximately 20.1962 acres. Is there a representative of the applicant team here?
Yes, I'm here. This is Noah Burke. I think my video is disabled, if they could enable it.
Thank you, Mr. Burke. And would you please raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do swear and affirm to tell the truth.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead. Please present the application.
Okay. Let me just get my video working here. All right. Thank you. So we, my name is Noah Burke, and I'm with Wilson & Company. We're representing Brookfield Properties. For the Coronado Center, we're asking for a sidewalk waiver. I want to put on the record there is an error in the application. It says a 5-foot sidewalk waiver. We're actually asking for a 3-foot sidewalk waiver from the required 10-foot requirement for new sidewalks for new developments along Louisiana and also along Manal. The property zone MXH, there's no development proposed at this time. Rather, we are just requesting a minor subdivision of 9 lots. That's where this request stemmed from, because we got DFT feedback that we needed to have a 10-foot sidewalk. And we believe that the purpose and intent of the sidewalk section is still met. There's no planned development for this at this time, but rather just a minor subdivision request forthcoming.
Thank you, Mr. Brick. Let's see if there's any public comment, and if so, you'll have the chance to respond. So for everyone here, this is agenda item 5, and it's a request for a DHO waiver at 6600 Manal Northeast. Please raise your hand if you'd like to provide public comment on that item. Scrolling through the participants, and I don't see anyone raising their hand. Again, please raise your hand to provide public comment on agenda item 5. Last call for public comment on agenda item 5. Okay, Mr. Burke, it doesn't appear that there's any public comment, so we'll proceed to the DFT specialty members for their comments, beginning with the Water Authority. Mr. David Gutierrez, are you there, sir?
I am.
Thank you. Please raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Water Authority has no objection or comments to this waiver, proposed waiver. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up would be code enforcement. Who will be presenting those comments?
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Jacob Boylan. I'll be presenting code enforcement comments.
Thank you, sir. Please raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Code enforcement has no comments and no objections on this.
Thank you, sir. Next up is Parks and Recreation. Ms. Hannah Alec, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Parks and Recreation has no objections to the requested action. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up is Hydrology. Who'll be providing the Hydrology comments today?
This is Richard Martinez for Hydrology.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Hydrology has no objection to the sidewalk waiver action. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And next up is Transportation. Mr. Ernest Armijo, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Please raise your right hand, and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Ernest Armijo, Transportation. Transportation does not support this waiver. I understand the applicant is only proposing replat, not development, but we're clearly directed that at replatting, we must ask for updated infrastructure along the roadways bordering the replat. And Manal and Louisiana are both principal arterials within a center, and they require 10-foot sidewalks. There are no obstructions to widening these sidewalks that I can see. The applicant also did not provide me with existing sidewalk width. That was something I did ask for in the sketch plan. So it was a little bit uncertain as to what the sidewalk widths are existing, but nonetheless, transportation does not support the waiver on this. The applicant has not shown that they've met all 10 criteria of the waiver process.
Mr. Burke, would you like to respond to Mr. Armijo's comments?
Thank you very much, and I appreciate Mr. Armijo's comments on that. So if you do go to Google Earth, and I can share my screen if that's helpful. I think that seeing the images is creates more of a visual rather than a plat, right? So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Can everybody see this? Just tell me if you can see this.
Yes.
Okay, so this is along Manal. You can see that there's an existing 7-foot sidewalk that was created and approved. So it's a legal non-conforming sidewalk that was approved with the development originally, right? And since the development has, since time has gone on and the IDO was adopted and there was multimodal transportation goals within that, as well as a number of other goals, you can see that this is a legal non-conforming issue. It exceeds what would be expected, which is 7 feet. Normally, you would see a 5-foot sidewalk in older parts of the town. We feel that basically, if we were to widen the sidewalk by the 3 additional feet, because we have a 7-foot existing, that we would then have to reconfigure the lots, which would affect circulation. There's grade differences. You could see here that there's a circulation. And this width requirement is also required by code for circulation purposes. And then if you go down farther along this, you can see that there becomes a significant grade change. So that would require significant investment in retaining walls. It would affect existing landscaping. It would affect existing utilities along Manal. And therefore, it would require significant existing changes just to get an additional 3 feet out of a 10-foot required. We still think that circulation for both pedestrians and bicyclists alone is still met with what's existing here. I do understand that when new development comes in, that is a requirement when you have new development per se, but we aren't proposing any development. And we also don't want to create any non-conformities with parking issues as well as we subdivide this these parcels. So I do want to point that out. I do understand transportation's goals and what they need to advocate for, but I do feel that we have 7 feet out of 10, and 3 is just such a minor deviation from what would be required and would require so much changes to the site plan, which we prefer not to do. So that is what I'd like to respond with.
Ernest Armijo, Transportation. Where I appreciate what you said here, the problem is that for one, 5 foot was never the standard. 5 foot is for local roads only. Manal and Louisiana are principal arterials. This is a high traffic area. This is an intense area for pedestrian traffic. So that's why the rules do state 10-foot sidewalk for these areas, since it is in the center. For and in your waiver letter, you did not indicate any pre-existing structures or grades that would be detrimental. Those we can work with. Possibly, you can have bump outs for those. You can narrow in points, but to eliminate the 10-foot sidewalk requirement for the entire frontage, that just isn't this isn't a consistent throughout. Let's see, the we can possibly look at some of these areas with grades and with existing infrastructure in the area, but overall, I don't think that it would be wise. And as I said, it really doesn't meet the all 10 criteria points which have to be met in order for a waiver to be granted.
Thank you, Mr. Armijo. Mr. Birkin, anything you'd like to add?
Thank you. I feel that we're kind of, if you look at our justification letter and the criteria that were specified in there, we want to stick strictly to what was requested in the justification, the criteria. We responded to all those criteria as best we could. And I do think that, I could understand that a 10-foot sidewalk is ideal, but given we have 7 feet, it's just 3 feet. It's more than half of what would be required, if it was brought up to code. So I feel that like there's kind of a happy medium that we might, or I'm hoping we might be able to reach. I think that you still have the purpose and intent of pedestrian and bicyclists and multimodal travel opportunities on a 7-foot sidewalk versus a 10. Without having to replat easements, recirculate drainage, create new retaining walls, reconfigure parking of the mall property. I think that it kind of creates a hardship if we were to go for the other 3 feet, just in the sheer fact. And I know that financial hardship is not one of those things that we use as evaluation criteria, nor am I using that as justification. But I think 7 out of 10 is pretty good. It's passing on a test in a lot of ways if you think about it. But I do. That's all I have to respond. I think my justification letter really. I think that I hit all the points and the goals. This is slated for infill development. I could see when new development was coming in that we might look revisit those opportunities to meet the 10-foot requirement. But at this point, there's no development. It's just for a subdivision action. And it's not new ground up development. Again, it's an existing mall. So that's my response. I appreciate you hearing me out, and I appreciate Mr. Armijo's comments as well, and the rest of the team.
Thank you.
Ernest Armijo Transportation. No, and I do appreciate the position you're in. And again, I have to remind everybody here that the IDO does state that with platting, it doesn't have to be with development that these improvements are required. Now, what I would suggest that the applicant do is go back, do a little bit more research on your property in areas where you do have grades or you do have obstructions. You can try and come back for a waiver for those areas, not for the entire frontage, but for those areas. Because as you did mention, unfortunately, the cost of doing the improvements I asked for is not a is not a one of the criteria because, and the reason why that is because anything I ask anybody to do will cost money.
Right.
So I would suggest that you go back, look at your site, rework your waiver to only those areas to where you have grades that are difficult to rework or there are physical obstructions, those things. And we can consider that, but not for the entire frontage.
Thank you, Mr. Armijo. I see a Brian Whaley with a hand raised. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you with the applicant? Team. Oh yeah, I see your name on the thing on the agenda. Would you please raise your right hand and do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I swear and affirm to tell the truth.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
So, and again, I'm Brian Whaley with Brookfield Properties. We own the asset, the entire mall, Coronado Center. So I've been working with Wilson here for the last year or so to try to get this through. I think this is our third DHO meeting. We've changed the plat a couple of times to make sure we got it to a minor subdivision. So really, I just have a couple of quick questions for Mr. Armijo. When this requirement to widen the sidewalks from the existing 7 feet to 10, I don't know, is that bound? Where is that boundary stop? I guess what I'm getting at is that only impacting the new parcels created, meaning that we'll be left with a condition where some of the sidewalks around the entire mall asset are still 7 feet, and then you kind of go to the new parcels and those are 10 feet. And is that the kind of condition that we would have to create?
Where it affects is anything that is affected by the replat. So even if say you were subdividing a parcel and you only wanted to redevelop say the east half, the west half is still affected by that because it was affected by the replat. So anything affected by the replat, these rules take into effect.
So would that inherently become the entire mall property at that point? Because technically, since we are doing these new parcels, we're creating, I can't recall what it was. I think it's a 9-parcel property in total now. So in theory, we're creating 14 new parcels. So does that in theory mean that the entire perimeter of the shopping mall needs to be updated at that time? Is that what I'm
In
understanding?
theory, correct. So long as any of those parcels are affected, then yes.
Okay. So just asking again another hypothetical question. Let's say we had a triple net investor that purchases sit down restaurants and they wanted to buy the Longhorn Steakhouse at the southeast corner of the property. And to do that, we just subdivided specifically just that Longhorn. I'm assuming this still comes into play with that subdivision and sale to a buyer. So there's no future development. It's selling of an existing property, existing conditions, but you've got to draw a new parcel to convey that to a buyer. Are we running up against the same requirement with the infrastructure improvements?
Yes, you are.
Okay. That answered the questions I have. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Whaley. Mr. Rodenbeck, I see you have your hand raised.
This is Jay Rodenbeck.
Thank you, sir. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to propose, kind of what we're doing with the applicants team for the first case on the agenda. Just, give the applicants some time to, update their sidewalk exhibit. We really don't know. We don't have an exhibit which really shows which sidewalks need to be vacated, have width waived in the first place. I just think we should look at giving them some time to come up with a revised exhibit, which would address Mr. Armijo's comments.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good course. And Mr. Burke, I'm happy to. I mean, I don't know if you want to hear the planning comments or if you just, I mean, it sounds like there's plenty to work on here with the transportation comments.
Thank you. So I guess I'm kind of trying to figure out where our happy medium is. I hear what transportation is saying, I hear what planning is saying, and obviously you've heard my our justification for asking for the waiver. But I'm wondering at what point do we look at kind of where 3 feet creates issues for a site planning perspective. And at what point do we kind of say, okay, this, transportation's goals are different than planning's goals or code enforcement's goals or water's goals and advancing these. So I think that we have a legal non-conforming situation, right? And we are creating 9 lots. I would want to kind of say that maybe if you, as the hearing officer, wanted to rule that we could do a condition of approval as development occurs, and place that will be solidified through the subdivision process. As development occurs, the sidewalk issue will then be addressed to meet the conformity, and we would also create those exhibits at that point, right? Because I think at that point, and I do understand the point that Mr. Armijo is making. Is that, by the codes section, it says, subdivision and platting is kind of where we would address some of this. But I think there is the opportunity to create a condition of approval to approve the waiver that defers it to the subdivision process, right? And that as new development occurs, it addresses these sidewalk issues in a comprehensive manner for the parcels that are therefore created. So that's what I'd like to lean towards or suggest or hope that we may consider, but I also do understand that there's differences of opinions in advancing the goals of the IDO.
Thank you, Mr. Brick. Mr. Rodenbeck?
Jay Runbeck, I think Mr. Burke has potentially a great idea, except that the problem is how we would track that condition of approval for this waiver would be it'd be very difficult if there's no active site plan that's been submitted, no active building permit that's been submitted, if it's tied to site development. I just want to reiterate, that it would just be very, very challenging tying a future sidewalk width requirement to site development based upon this waiver when there is no site development proposed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Armijo?
Yes, Ernest Armijo Transportation. First, again, I want to reiterate that you should probably rework your waiver request, because there are some areas just like this, which you're showing here on your street view. This area would very most likely receive a waiver, because there are grades there, there are existing obstructions. So in this portion, I could see providing a waiver. So check your property out, find out the portions that can receive a waiver, and go for those ones. As for the rest, we don't tell you you have to build it all right now. What we do is we say that you have to create an infrastructure list and financially guarantee it. So you could potentially phase out that infrastructure list with development. Now, how long it would take to redevelop the entire site, that's a different question. I mean, because once the infrastructure list is getting ready to expire, I know you can get extensions on those. So I don't know how for how long, but at some point, if it is going to expire, the city can pull those financial guarantees to do that themselves. So there are options involved. It's not like we're saying you have to build the whole thing all at once. It just has to be financially guaranteed and on an infrastructure list. But do please look at these areas. What you show right here on the screen, this area right here does most likely meet the requirements for a waiver. So find all these portions and break those ones out for a waiver for those. And you won't have to worry about like this piece here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Armijo. Mr. Burke, I definitely appreciate the concerns that you've raised. I mean, I think they are legitimate concerns. But I just given this the rules that I have to follow as a DHO in enforcing the IDO and the DPM, I don't think I can rule on it today. But I do encourage you to revise it as Mr. Armijo suggests. I do think that we ought to defer it to the next regularly scheduled hearing.
Oh, Mr. Lucero, can I really quickly, can I respond
Yes,
really
sir.
quickly to Mr. Rodenbeck's comment? So I think the opportunity to track this lies in the platting actions as a condition. And I assume when you come in for permit, and when you come in for a subdivision plat, you condition a plat sometimes, and you put conditions and notes on plats. And this could be there. And then when it goes through to permit, it's not necessarily tracking as much as it is an exercise of reviewing legal lots of record and then looking at the plat and seeing are the conditions that are there listed there met. And that in and of itself could be the portion where your permitting staff and your approval staff is reviewing those notes on the plat and making sure that they're complied with. And that's the opportunity for the financial guarantee potentially or as part of the infrastructure improvements.
Thank you. I think it's worth discussing those ideas, but with planning staff. But I think we ought to do that offline. And I appreciate you being a zealous advocate, Mr. Burke. But I think we ought to defer this item. So I'm going to go ahead and rule on that, and we'll defer agenda item 5. That's PR 2024-0102-69 DHOWVR 2025-00001 to the next regularly scheduled DHO hearing, which will take place on Wednesday, February 26th, beginning at 9 a.m. Thank you, Mr. Burke.
All right, thank you.
That concludes agenda item 5.